Hey, you're listening to 101.9 CITR FM, located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. My name is Eva, and today you're listening to my new show, What's the Story? This is episode one, and I'm super, super excited about it. So because this is our first episode on air, I wanted to give you a little rundown about what I'm doing here and what you can expect from the show. So I really wanted to do a kind of history of music style show on CITR. It's going to be a largely music-based program, although a lot of me speaking, and so I'll be explaining kind of the history behind a musical phenomenon, a genre, maybe even like a location. I did a fill-in a while ago about Riot Grrrl, and that kind of sparked my interest in this. I thought it'd be really cool to dive into some genres or something that I just really didn't know about music, and present that to you lovely people with a playlist kind of curated around that. So that's what I'm doing. Because it is a bit more research intensive, I am going to be doing a bi-weekly show. So my slot is Friday at 1 p.m. and I'll do this show every 2 weeks. And then some fun things that I wanted to do, if we get the time for it or if it just like comes up, I really want to have a guest in, maybe someone who knows a lot about a different area of music than I do. I can ask some questions, that'd be kind of fun. And then we've got obviously themed periods at the station. So there's Black History Month in February, so then I'll obviously try and highlight some Black artists or a Black movement. And then there's the SoCan period, so I'll highlight some Canadian artists, etc. But of course, just like the goal of the station is to highlight indie and underrepresented local artists, of course. So I'm not going to be trying to explain to you rock and roll, like I'm not going to be explaining punk, but I would be excited to delve into some subgenres or some lesser known artists within those genres, if that makes sense. And then the last thing that I really wanted to do with this show is have a section designated for discussing some show listings and events that are coming up, because I am so, so into the local music scene in terms of live shows. It's my favorite thing to do. And I thought that it'd be fun if you're new to the city, maybe you're new to UBC, or maybe you just haven't really gotten super into the local scene. Or if you have and you just like can't be bothered to research it every Friday, like I get that too. So I've got my show on Friday, so I thought that'd be a perfect time to just tell you what's the haps over the weekend. And obviously highlighting those indie underground musicians that we love so much. So that's what I'm doing, and this first episode is going to be focused on the genre dark cabaret, subgenre, I think. It's a really funky one, very new to me, so that is what we're doing today on What's the Story. I hope you keep listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. I have this one friend who just knows all of the most obscure albums ever and of any genre, so it's like very fun to be friends with him, and I have a whole list of things I should listen to from his suggestion. And so one of those bands was called the Dresden Dolls, which I thought was an interesting name. Dresden is a town in Germany. I've actually visited Dresden. It was very historic because in World War II, I believe, there was a really horrific bombing that destroyed most of the city. And even today, because of the firebombs, all of the buildings are blackened. And it's really kind of powerful to be there. And it was specifically poignant in Dresden because it wasn't a town of any political importance at the time. It was really just an arts and culture hub, and it had this beautiful architecture. And so it was very much a malicious attack on civilians by the British, which is why it was, you know, especially prominent. So that intrigued me, and I love history, so I was like, I'll listen to that for sure. And the genre that the Dresden Dolls really encapsulate is dark cabaret, and that sounded intriguing to me. So I did some digging on that, and I listened to some other dark cabaret things, and then I've compiled a little playlist for you today so you can get a little taste of what that's meant to sound like. So the origin of the genre was really in 1980s in Western Europe. That's when this kind of the music came up. But really, cabaret has been around forever. Cabaret and burlesque was prominent in Victorian era Europe, and then it actually turned into what we know more colloquially, I think, in Canada would be the American burlesque, which is kind of like risque dancing, and it's very feminine and sexual, I suppose. And that also ties into striptease, and drag is also part of this whole aesthetic. So in Europe at the time, this really was part of what they called Weimar culture, and I hope that I'm saying that right, Weimar, which was the arts and science boom in the Weimar Republic, which was Austria and Germany, but between World War I and the Third Reich, so interwar period, I suppose. And what this looked like in theater and literature was themes of the failure of politics and society. Things were very bleak, obviously, they're in between two wars, and the grotesque was also a theme. In film, this looked very similar, nightmarish, the dark side of human nature, and it was very mysterious and magical, eerie, sort of lots of horror, but also lots of sexual iconography. And then in music, a big aspect of Weimar culture was opera. And a big thing that was happening in Weimar culture was also agitpro, which a key player in that was Brecht, and we'll come back to that later. It's basically a communist theatrical genre. It's agitation and propaganda put together. So it would be leaflets or theater, anything that was addressing local problems through Marxist thought. And a huge key player, like I said, was Bertolt Brecht. They called him interwar Germany's most important playwright. And then one last thing that was really a hallmark of Weimar culture was decadence, and especially in Berlin. Berlin was the hub of decadence, and it was known to be a very liberal city, which you might find interesting, considering the fascism that came out of it. But prostitution rose in Berlin, and it was really a means of survival for most people. STIs spread, and Berlin was really known as a hub for drugs and crime. And this, again, was a means to survive post-war Berlin, but it was also a place that thrill seekers would come to visit the city, and there was this big underground culture for music and art and for people to take part in drugs and prostitution, and really just, like, express their hedonism, right? But also in this underground culture grew cabaret and erotic performances. All right, so that's a lot of history I've just thrown at you. I'm gonna play a song to get us in the mood here, give us a little taster of what's to come with Dark Cabaret. This is a band called Harlequin Jones, their song Worried Ugly off of their 2011 EP.
Just another tongue twister. Resistance, resistance. The gig is up, my target's blurry, but business is business. Blame reflects straight back at me. I was worried. Could've got ugly pretty bad, pretty fast. Too little, too late, out of town, out of state. We were this close to missing that train. Could've got ugly.
So next I wanted to get into some related genres, because genre is funny. People get very pedantic about genre. People get very specific about genre, which is why it's hard to kind of place a little genre, a subgenre, into my general understanding of music. So let's talk about that, and we'll talk about some terminology as well. So like I said, cabaret was a theatrical entertainment, and this is, it's kind of like a musical. It involves music, song, dance, drama, recitation. And in the U.S., it really had a different meaning than it did originally in Victorian era, as you can imagine, because now we really do associate it with elements of striptease and burlesque, drag, etc., which is meant to highlight specifically femininity, but sexuality. And burlesque in particular was art that was kind of meant to be funny. It was meant to amuse the audience in generally like a satirical way, or, and I thought this was a good description of it, parodying or caricaturing serious work. And it comes from the Italian burla for joke, which makes sense, or mockery. And it's very theatrical and extravagant and whimsical. And you'll see those elements in this music. And that is, I will get into that later, but that can be part of why I don't really enjoy certain bands within this genre. Obviously, you probably got a little bit of a taster there with our Harlequin Jones song, but jazz and swing, also circus and music hall and vaudeville. But one thing that I thought was also interesting was that it is tied in, dark cabaret, with goth and punk and even metal. And I've got some fun examples of that in the playlist. And that really is where I start to enjoy dark cabaret more, I think. So some other descriptions of the genre. You know how people love to give like 8 words to describe one genre and they all mean the same thing. So cabaret noir or glam cabaret. And actually Amanda Palmer, who is the lead singer for the Dresden Dolls, she calls her bands Brechtian punk cabaret, which comes back to Bertolt Brecht, who was, like I mentioned, interwar Germany's most important playwright. And she very much rejected the idea of being called anything next to goth, so that's what we call her. Much respect to Amanda Palmer. And then for some lyrical topics that you might find in these songs, blasphemy, prostitution, bestiality even, and it is, like, it does have a very menacing tone to it, and that's what makes dark cabaret dark rather than just cabaret. It's not meant to be funny. I mean, it can be satirical and poking fun at something, but generally in a pretty dark way. And then when it comes to style, aesthetically, white face makeup was something that Amanda Palmer did quite frequently. If you want a good example of what it's meant to look like to play the caricature of a dark cabaret artist, really take a look at Amanda Palmer and the Dresden Dolls. And also, aside from that, period clothing. People were really playing into the Victorian era, which is, I find that stuff very creepy, to be honest. Like, you don't have to do much aside from dress up in Victorian dress, and I'm kind of scared, so it kind of does it for me. Decadence as well, and risque, which all makes sense, knowing the background of cabaret. And then some instruments that are commonly found in this genre. Lots of old school stuff. Like, it's nothing too techie, as you could imagine. There's lots of piano or organ. The accordion, actually, which plays into the circus theme, I think, for me. I don't know what it is about the accordion, but it really just seems like goofy and like a circus. There's also lots of violin and cello, which for me, that and the organ plays into the gothic theme in my mind. You know when the Scooby Gang pulls up to one of those haunted mansions? Anything that might be playing in the soundtrack there, that would be an instrument involved in dark cabaret. Okay, again, I've been talking a lot, so let's play you another song before we get into some of the key players of dark cabaret. Next, I'm going to play a song called Gemini Girly Song by Cats and Jammer Cabaret. And that's a French band, funnily enough, but they do take their name, obviously, from German and the German word for cabaret. So here we go.
Mm-hmm. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
Okay, so we're back, and I think that's an interesting song because it reminds me, with the distorted guitar and her vocals, it reminds me, as a child of the 2000s, of that emo era in the early 2000s, pop punk, post-punk, all of that. That was my jam. I'm no disrespect to that. And it's funny because that song is from 2004, so it makes sense, but in my mind, this seems like such a archaic genre that had such old roots in the Victorian era. So it's just funny that it's like kind of had this revamp in the early 2000s. Next, we're going to get into some of the key players in this genre. And something you'll notice by the two songs I've already played, but you will notice by more of the playlist coming up, is that it's predominantly female vocal artists or female front women. I think every single one of these songs, and I'm not trying to have a bias towards women, it genuinely is just dominated by chicks in this genre, which is pretty cool. And I think that that's probably, I haven't read any literature about this, but I think that's probably about how American cabaret was so associated with feminine iconography and striptease and burlesque and risque dancers, right? And I actually had difficulty coming across any male-fronted bands. So one of the first real dark cabaret bands, I've read this in a few places, so I'll take it as gospel, was Tiger Lilies. And their first album came out in 1989. Like I said, this genre really did pop off in the early 2000s, so they were kind of the first ones to do all that. And their music was, actually this is a male-fronted band, and their music was very bluesy, lots of accordion. And they used those same themes that we were talking about earlier, the grotesque. They talked a lot about disease, I noticed. I listened to their album Spit Bucket from 1990, and there was a lot of talk about death and drugs and suicide, disease. It was kind of disturbing. So if you are interested in this genre and you kind of want to get a broader scope of who are some artists out there, you should check out this record label called Project Records with a K. And they specialize in the genres of cabaret, dark wave, ambient, so lots of things of that nature. And they have this really interesting album called Project Presents Dark Cabaret from 2005. So if you go through there, it's a compilation of dark cabaret songs, and you can pick an artist that you might enjoy. Okay, so let's get into the Dresden Dolls next. That was the band that started it all for me, and the front woman, like I mentioned earlier, was Amanda Palmer. She's a very cool woman, and as she describes, the band is Brechtian punk cabaret. The band is from Boston, Massachusetts, and it is comprised of Amanda Palmer and Brian Viglione, and they actually met at a Halloween party, which I think is so perfect. So the name comes from the town of Dresden. And the dolls aspect of that was that porcelain dolls were a big part of trade in Dresden, and that was kind of a big product that they would create, pre-war mostly. And Amanda Palmer said that she just really enjoyed the juxtaposition of Dresden, which was this symbol for destruction, and dolls, which were meant to be delicate. And then I really like that if you delve into the Dresden dolls and you look at some images of them, and even like album covers, she dresses a lot like a doll, a Victorian doll, with the white face paint, and the Brian dresses like a Victorian man, so I really enjoy how they just dive right into the whole caricature. So let's play a Dresden Dolls song next. This is the album that started this all for me. It is the self-titled The Dresden Dolls, and the song is Girl Anachronism.
From the scars on my arms and the cracks in my hips and the dents in my car and the blisters on my lips, that I'm not the carefulest of girls. You can tell from the glass on the floor and the strings that are breaking, and I keep on breaking more, and it looks like I am shaking, but it's just the temperature. Then again, if it were any colder, I could disengage. If I were any older, I would act my age, but I don't think that you believe me. It's not the way I'm meant to be, it's just the way the operation made me. From the state of my room that they let me out too soon, and the pills that I ate came a couple weeks too late, and I've got some issues to work through. There I go again, pretending to be you, make-believing that I have a soul beneath the surface, trying to convince you it was accidentally on purpose. I am not so serious, this passion is a plagiarism. I might join your century, but only on a rare occasion. I was taken up before the labor pains set in, and never had the world's most accidental. My hair and the pants are full of flies, that I'm not right now at all. There I go again, pretending that I'll fall. Don't call her actors, they've seen it all before. They'll say, just let her crash and then she'll learn. The attention just encourages her. And you can tell from the full body cast that you're sorry that you asked, that you did everything you could like any decent person would. But I might be catching, so don't touch. Don't believe in your immune to gravity and stuff. Don't get me. Because the bandages will all come off. You can tell from the smoke at the stake that the currency is critical. But it is the little things I'm saying. The time it takes to break it, she could make up 10 excuses. Excuse her for the day, it's just the way the medication makes her. I don't necessarily believe there is a cure for this. No, I might join your century, but only as a devil. Yes, I was too precarious, removed as necessary. You don't
So I think that's a really killer song for a number of reasons. Firstly, I think it really encapsulates dark cabaret in a funny way, because anachronism is a word that means something that belongs to a time period other than the present, and typically something old-fashioned. And that's definitely what she's doing with the Victorian attire and the whole Brechtian punk idea. She's really calling back to Weimar culture. And I think she really understands the roots of the genre and likes to play into that. But I also really like the imagery of someone who's been institutionalized, someone who's not understood by society. And the tone of the song is very sarcastic, so it's obvious that this speaker doesn't really agree. They feel that they're in the wrong time frame, that they don't belong here, but they're not wrong, that it's just other people don't understand them. Yeah, so I really enjoy that song. It's also really catchy, and a lot thrashier and more sonically what I gravitate towards in a song. Amanda Palmer is also married to Neil Gaiman, who's the author for Coraline, and that's just a really fun fact that I wanted to throw in there because I love that spooky vibes. Get married to someone just as spooky as you. I love that. And that song in particular is very punky, which is why I like it. And I think it's cool that this genre is really, yes, a subgenre of, I think you could call it musical theater almost. But with dark cabaret, it's tying into metal and punk, and something that I really just wouldn't expect. As someone who, I hate it, but I've just never really understood how to consume musical theater. I'm not talking going to see it live in person. That I think would be a really cool experience. But just sitting down and listening to a musical on my phone, like, it's just not something that I grew up with. And I think that medium is foreign to me. So when I was getting into this, I was noticing some albums that were feeling a lot like musicals, and I liked them. And I think that it's because it's got this creepy element to it. It's gothic, and I don't know what about that just made it more palatable to me, but it did. So speaking of that, Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls has another project called Evelyn Evelyn. And it's an interesting one. I won't get too much into it because there's a lot of lore to cover. So Evelyn Evelyn, I don't know if it's a true story. I really was trying to find information about this, but it's a bit obscure, and jury's still out. Can't decide if it's a true story or if it's a character. But the story goes that there are these two girls, Evelyn and Evelyn Neville, and they are conjoined twins, and they are orphaned at birth, taken into the custody of a few weird characters, and these people don't treat them very well, and they do escape. And at one point, they are taken in by someone who trades them to the circus. So the whole album is very much a narrative. There's lots of spoken word, and there's lots of really long songs kind of laying out the scene, right? This song is the opener, and it discusses the relationship that the two girls have with each other.
Evelyn,
Evelyn,
why do we bother to stay?
Why are you running away?
Don't you feel like severing?
Everything's just come together.
It's broken, I don't want to play.
We grew up closer than anything.
Shared our bed
and wore the same
talked
clothes.
About everything.
Spoke about so many things.
What shall we wear tonight?
What shall we eat today? Can we go ice skating?
But we just did that yesterday.
Should we be firemen? Can we be astronauts? What if they find
they're
us?
They're not looking anywhere.
Evelyn,
Evelyn,
why do we bother to stay?
Why are you running away?
Don't you feel like severing?
Everything's just come together at
last. It's broken, I don't want to play.
Fill my glass, let's drink a toast.
This is our birthday. So why are we weeping
at your side?
I feel like a ghost,
I wake up
and I stare at you sleeping.
What shall we wear tonight?
What shall we eat today?
Do you think I should marry
we
him?
Just met him yesterday.
Should we be movie stars? Will we be millionaires? I want to be famous.
They're watching us anyway.
Evelyn,
Evelyn,
why do we bother to stay?
Why are you running away?
Don't you feel like severing?
has just come together.
It's broken, I don't want to play.
We grew up so very close. A parasite, it's a home.
I'm only trying to do what is best for us.
Well, I never asked for this. Me. You're always trying to be somebody else.
Now I realize I'm not all
well, you're always scared of me.
You never cared for me.
Why don't you let me free?
You never tear me.
Cause you never listen. You're always insisting.
I just
stop reminiscing.
I
feel something missing.
I just want my privacy.
Make of that what you will. I think it's a very weird album, but I did enjoy it, and it's making me feel like I might enjoy musicals if I really gave it a go. Now, something that I feel way more comfortable in, much more in my wheelhouse, is punk and metal. So I've got a song for you now by Stolen Babies. It's called Philostata, and it's off of their album There Be Squabbles Ahead.
Crawling all over behind your
Alright, I gave you a little bonus song there too. That's one of my favorite Dark Cabaret songs on that playlist that I've made. I think because it sounds a little bit more indie as well, like it's a bit more palatable, but it obviously does have those musical elements of the other songs. And I feel like really quickly you can figure out what the characteristic sounds of the genre are just by listening to a few songs. And I would say that maybe that is one of the negatives that I have about this genre. I wanted to get into an opinion piece about this. Overall, I do like this genre, I'm gonna say, but firstly, just because it made me think of it, I do find that there are a few very signature chord progressions and musical elements that at a certain point I feel like it would get quite tiring over time if I were to really commit to this dark cabaret as my favorite genre. So in that reason, I think that it would be more casual listening for me. And I love these songs. I think I will go back to them, and absolutely the Dresden Dolls album. However, I can find it a bit kitschy at times, and it does like remind me of old school Halloween soundtracks, like or musicals, like I said, which wouldn't really usually be my go-to everyday listening. So that's just a minor note, though. I do like it, and I think I'll keep coming back to it, just maybe in small doses. Something I really like about the genre, though, which I touched on earlier, is that as someone who's into history, I find the origin of this genre very fascinating, and it's pretty impressive to me that, like, these themes and ideas and sounds have lived on since interwar Germany, and they found this new life in an early 2000s emo America. Like, I love that. That's so funny. And one more thing that I really loved is that this is such a female-dominated genre, which emo was really taken by the men, and goth and metal and punk, this was male-dominated territory. Obviously, we've had some amazing female punk rockers and, like, some amazing emo. I love Paramore. Like, I'm not trying to diminish any of that. But I love that it's so obvious this is something that the girls have taken. And one more thing that I just like about this is it is such a subversive genre. Like, it's so weird. So obviously you don't hear it much on the radio, in the mainstream radio. And it wasn't really a genre that I'd understood well until now, which is always so exciting to me as someone who's a self-proclaimed music lover to find something that is really foreign to you. That's cool. And it is within, like, my home genre of punk and rock. So that's cool. That's cool too. All right, I'm going to play us out on this segment here with one last song. It's by Jill Tracy. It's called Sell My Soul from her album The Bittersweet Constrain.
Trick me with your pretty things, black horses with their silver wings. The halos in the sky are calling me again. You reign under a broken crown, archangel of the underground. The quicksand in your eyes has taken me down. Could you be the one I sell myself to?
Place, or is it?
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CITR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has an naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.
A Tribe Called Red is the Hallucination with their new record, One More Saturday Night, featuring Javier Mighty, Tanya Tagak, and more, out now.
Okay, so now would be the time of the show where I give you a show list, events listings for the next couple weeks. I really want to focus on indie venues and indie performers and some kind of under the radar stuff that you might not know about if you're new to the area. That's really the purpose of this for me. However, we are living in COVID times and it's looking pretty bleak at the moment. There are not a lot of shows. I really scoured the internet, Instagram, Eventbrite for a long time, and I did my best, but I've only found a few things. And this is a bi-weekly show, so I'll give you some listings for this week and for the next week as well. So I've done my best, but also please note that we are subject to COVID restrictions, so that might mean you need to be double vaxxed, wear a mask. Also, we're acting on, I believe, 50% capacity at venues, and all bars are shut down at the moment until January 18th. So it's looking a little dire until the 18th, but after that, I have seen a lot more listings. So hopefully by next time you see me, we'll have a lot more to announce. But here's what I've got to offer. At the Railway, we've got Saturday, January 15th, that's tomorrow, Lamb's Breath, Uncle Strut, and Nuclear Disco. And then also on Saturday, January 15th, Dolly Disco has an event called Down Low, and that's going to be a set by DJ Alex and Big Zen, and they're calling this a, quote, little sit-down music hang, because, like I said, we're not allowing any bars, and the venues are acting at 50% capacity, so you do have to book a table, much like any other venues are doing it these days. You can bring up to four in your party, and then there's no dancing, of course, but it is, we're doing the best with what we've got. And then Blue Light Sessions has a show tonight, Friday, January 14th. That's Lovely Company, which is a fantastic local band. You can also tune into the live stream if that's just something you'd be more comfortable with. And then speaking of live streams, Normie Corp has a live stream show happening on Sunday, January 16th. That's going to be held at the MOTN. And there will be performers such as Made in China, Jupiter, Adam, many more queer performers. And the event is called Pokeball. Normie always puts on really sick events, and I'm sure this will be no exception. And now let's talk about next week, because I won't see you until a couple more weeks from now. We also have at the Railway Thursday, January 20th, a show with Green Alderson, Tobacco Brown, Coldwater Road, and Robin Froza. And then at Redgate next week on Friday the 21st, there is a tentative show which is listed on their calendar, but they haven't announced yet, and I know that they're not always completely up to date on that calendar all the time, so before you get excited, just double check next week if it's still going on. It's going to be, though, with Aquarius Day, Kylie V, Transistor Riot, Gwen Davies, and Kitty Prozac. Okay, so all of the links to either the Eventbrite or the Instagram accounts that are selling these tickets will be linked in my podcast version of this show. You can find that by searching citr.ca and then searching What's the Story. Okay, so that is all that I've got for you today. In terms of shows, I hope you can make it out to one of them. I'll do my best to as well. It's really important to support these local venues and indie venues during this very difficult time. So stay safe, and I will see you in a couple weeks.